Stars and Just the Way You Are, or what about The Way We Love, Just the Way We Love? It's that time of the month again to talk about, well, it's Riviera, the Wellbeing Window, with Riviera Wellbeing and Gavin Sharp. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Sarah.
So come on then, today we're talking about the way we love and behave in relationships. Can you introduce the topic to us?
Absolutely. So the way we love is, in some respect, I think of this as having a, I was just saying before the break, a love blueprint, which is that all of us will love in a predetermined way. So sometimes when we hear someone say that so-and-so is quite, or they're alluring to themselves, they're very independent, they're very self-sufficient, or we sometimes say someone's a bit clingy. And ultimately, we can break this down into three what we call attachment styles. So if you take the whole population, all of us love in one of three ways. And if we can understand that, we'll be much happier in our relationships, because according to which style, according to which love blueprint, that'll determine my attitude towards sex. It will determine how I deal with conflict, how I communicate my needs in a relationship. So this is what we call either love blueprints, I call it, or in psychotherapy terms, we call it attachment styles.
Can your attachment styles be influenced by maybe your parents?
Absolutely. So I think the attachment styles, that's where they come from. So attachment theory was first developed around the kind of 1940s and 1950s by a psychotherapist called John Bowlby. And what he determined is the quality of the love, the nature of the love from our primary caregivers, that gives us this love blueprint. That sets us up for the way we're, how secure or insecure we feel in our romantic relationships.
So it either sets us up to succeed or fall flat on our face.
Pretty much, quite a brutal way of looking at it. But yes, and so we talk about there being three attachment styles. So the first is we say, okay, someone is anxiously attached. So if I'm anxiously attached, let's say in my romantic relationship, then I'm more likely to really crave the intimacy. I never quite get enough of it. I'm quite preoccupied with the relationship. I'm worried that my partner will pull away. I take things really personally. I need lots of reassurance. That's the anxious. I want a close relationship and I worry about it. Style number two is I'm avoidant. So I really overvalue my independence. I'm quite scared of the emotional intimacy. This is the person we sometimes say, oh, you know what? They're a free spirit. And they appear a free spirit, but actually they're quite scared of the intimacy. So it's the person will often say, oh, you know, I've never found the right one. Or, you know what, he really wants to tie me down. Or they're always looking for someone better. That's the avoidant. And then the third type is I'm secure, which is just I'm comfortable with intimacy and closeness. I don't play games. I'm warm, I'm loving, and I'm not burdened by the anxious and avoidant styles.
Okay, well, first question in this morning, I would like a long-term relationship. They seem to last about 6 months and then it ends. I've been told I don't trust easily. It's not easy when you've been cheated on, and I've also struggled with addictions.
So listening to that, I would say, and of course it's really hard to know just on you know, a short question, but there are signs there that that person may have the avoidant attachment style, because avoidants won't trust easily. And when you say that they seem to last about 6 months, I wonder what it is that happens at that 6 month period for that person, because there's a pattern there. Mm. And so an avoidant, when the intimacy gets too close, the avoidant will head for the door. Because at this point, so you have that flurry of falling in love, and it's wonderful, and it's lustful, and it's exciting and spontaneous, and suddenly they want a commitment. So the avoidant starts to back out. They start to create distance. They create excuses. And so what I would say to that person writing in is, obviously first deal with any addictions, because that's the primary task here, but also just begin to think about the things you tell yourself at the 6 month period. This is where I often hear clients, and I tend to see more men who are avoidant, and they'll come up with things about, you know, I think she's fantastic, but maybe she's not quite got the right body shape, or and like, you're deeply in love. You're thinking about building a life together, but the only thing that's bothering you is her little toe. I mean, I kid you, I have heard the most ridiculous things for men to pull away, when actually what they're telling me is, I'm really in love, or, but I'll need to end it, you know, because I had someone once who was dating someone for 3 months when I was working in the UK, and he said, I think I'm going to need to end the relationship. It was obvious they were deeply, it was falling in love. He said, because she's not on the same tube line as me, and it's really quite difficult, because when I have to go on a date, I've got to change tubes 3 times. And I remember saying to him, come on, what is this really about? Because it's got nothing to do with the tube line.
Yeah. Fair enough. Another question. Hi, Sarah and Gavin. From what Gavin is saying, I'm anxious in my relationships. Given I'm single, how do I find someone suitable? Please don't say Tinder.
Damn it, that was my answer. I think for someone single, the answer is to understand your attachment style. Actually, can you just read me the question just once more? You said that I'm anxious
in my relationships, and given I'm single, how do I find someone suitable?
Okay, so I would say that you need to find someone secure. Read up a little bit about attachment theory. So if you're anxious, that means that you really want closeness. So what you ideally don't want to do is date someone who's avoidant, because you want closeness and they want distance. So I would say for a single person, a lot of anxious people really lack self-esteem. And they really don't believe they're worthy of love. And they feel quite ashamed of their emotional needs. And what I'd say to anybody who identifies with the anxious attachment style, please don't compromise. I mean, yes, we compromise on day-to-day stuff, but all of us deserve to have our needs met. So when you're out there in the dating pool, and you will meet more avoidants than you'll meet secure people, just begin to notice that if they are ghosting you, if they are creating distance, then there are some warning signs that either we need to address this, you know, honey, I'm aware that you didn't respond to my text for 3 days, what's happening?
You're already on using honey after 3 days. Are you a fast mover?
Less than 3 hours, I mean. We've got to get with the kids these days. They move really fast, Sarah. So I would say, understand a little bit about your attachment style and look out for the avoidance, because it's not ideal. It will work, and I work with lots of couples who are anxious and avoidant in a relationship, but try and find someone securely attached.
Okay, another question. Dear Sarah, please pass to Gavin. This is my relationship. Awful. He's anxious and so loving. Me, a widow. Very super marriage behind me. It's a difficult distance relationship, UK, Monaco. Any comment? Must I be honest? I will not leave Monaco. I was debating to become, I don't know, there's lots of typos in this email, so I'm trying to make head or tail of it. But wants to stay here for the weather and friends, basically in a long distance relationship, somebody in the UK. He's anxious and so loving. So what are the answers to that when it's long distance and you're with someone that is, can be just as anxious as they are loving?
Well, I think it's understanding where does the anxiety come from? Because I think in an anxious relationship, you know, you said, where did the stars come from? If I just take a step back, for those of us who are anxiously attached, what sometimes happened as children is that we got attention from our parents, but the attention wasn't always consistent. So I received love, but actually there was, because mum and dad weren't always present, there's this fear of abandonment. So I'm interested to know about I think it was a she said that it's the long distance relationship and there's a lot of anxiety. Can you reassure, if there is a fear of abandonment, you know, can you reassure your partner? And if I'm avoidantly attached, then where does that come from? Well, very often that's the mum and dad that actually were just unavailable. Mm. And that causes me, therefore, to be frightened of intimacy. So sometimes, actually, I can be avoidant because I had engulfing parents. There was no oxygen. There was no room growing up to breathe. And therefore, even though there was love, actually, I always in relationship have one foot in, one foot out. So in the long distance relationship, it's just thinking a little bit about these dynamics, because obviously long distance relationships can work. But how is the, and I'm not clear from the question, but I just would ask the writer to reflect, the listener, how is the anxious and avoidant showing up? What can you learn from that? What might you do differently?
Yeah, I think I didn't make it very clear, probably because it was a bit difficult to read it. But also, important point in the question is that the person is a widow with a super marriage behind her.
Right.
So faced with then a long distance relationship with someone who's anxious but still so loving. So maybe that also plays a role.
I think so, and I think with a great relationship as well, that can also cause us to be ourselves a bit avoidant. I won't find someone again. I don't want to get hurt again. So sometimes we can be avoidant because in the past we've been hurt. We've lost. People have left us. People have cheated on us. So our attachment styles therefore almost develop. So there may be something there for the person who's written in, which is there may be some reticence, some nervousness, understandably, about being intimate. And that makes sense. So that may not come from childhood. That may come from the life's experience of being widowed.
Okay. Another question. Hi, Gavin and Sarah. I think I've always stayed in relationships too long. Join the club. And I found it difficult to end relationships. I'll second that. Which style do I fit into? It might help me understand how to find a better partner. What does Gavin think? So which style do I fit into? And it might help me to understand how to find a better partner.
That's the listener or that's you asking?
No, I'm not saying any names.
Okay.
So it's genuine. I didn't write this one in. I'll be doing it by the end of the show.
So I would say that is an anxious attachment style, because the anxious person doesn't have the self-esteem, and they will sometimes stay in relationships way too long because they don't believe they're worthy. Because again, if some of that inconsistency was there growing up, then there's that fear of being left. So because I deep down don't feel worthy, I'm going to cling on way past the sell-by date of the relationship, because maybe that's all that's out there.
But how do you get over that hurdle of the dynamics that we're talking about today, of changing in a relationship, which they must do over time, people change. How do you get over that hurdle of, like you say, maybe being a bit tough on yourself, or not tough on yourself, but a bit more confident and saying, okay, I know what I want and I know what I don't want?
You go to therapy.
Oh, right, okay, how much to charge, Gavin?
It's a very good question. It's about informing ourselves of our attachment styles, understanding what's my relationship to intimacy? What's happening for me? And I catch myself. So if I know that I'm sending the 10th text of the day, I'm thinking, okay, I just need to calm myself down here. I need to allow my adult self to kind of almost move in. So I'm realizing I'm preoccupied with the relationship. This is what I tend to do. I need to take a step back. Or if I'm avoidant and I'm starting to put distancing strategies in, I start to begin to recognize my patterns. Mm. Because, you know, fundamentally, what attachment is at the end of the day, it's an emotional bond. It's an emotional tie. That's what John Bowlby said. So a child needs his or her primary caregiver to be there for them. And if, let's say it's the mum, which is often the primary caregiver, isn't there, the child will either protest, so they'll cry, they'll try to get attention, or eventually they'll withdraw, they'll give up. And we tend to do that in our adult relationships. So if I'm anxiously attached, let's say now, don't panic, let's say you and I in a relationship, Sarah, and we're She's laughing when I say that. She just, it's like, she can't even take it seriously. Even as a
okay. I'm really thinking about this.
It's
really
a role play.
Okay. Role play.
So we're in a relationship and there's a kind of, I've lost my train of thought now.
That was the thought of being in a relationship with me. That's how lucky I am.
We've both lost the plot. So if I'm anxiously attached, then I'm probably going to keep looking to you for reassurance. That's my thought. And then I'll pick an argument. And I'll want to know, I'll just start anything, because what I'm trying to do is, I'm panicking that the connection is broken in that moment. I'm fearful. And if you're avoidant, you're going to just keep distancing yourself. And we get kind of stuck in this, we get stuck in this loop. So we need to understand our pattern of relating to each other so we don't keep getting stuck.
Okay. Gavin, that's a great way. We're going to stop for the news, but I'll end on this question. We'll take it up after the news, because you've just explained fantastic advice of how we can be conscious of our ways of maybe being our dynamics in a relationship. But after the news, maybe we could talk about how can we know our partner's love or attachment style, and what can we do about that if it's the other person?
Okay, I'm
okay.
Up for it.
That's coming up after the news, sports and weather, which is next. It's just gone 26 minutes past 9. Riviera Radio. Just coming up to 20 to 10. 20 more minutes left of the Riviera Wellbeing Window on Riviera Radio. We're talking about attachment and the way we love with Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. So I left you just before the news saying that it's all very well us, well, like you said, me maybe going to therapy to look at myself and understand my three different behaviours in a relationship and the dynamics. But how can we know that the partner's love or attachment style, and what can we do about it? Now, I left you with that, and then I got a question in saying that I was about to ask that question, Sarah. I'd also like to know how to know about my partner's love or attachment style, and also when it's affected by addiction, and how addiction can change the way we love and the dynamics in our relationship.
So, great question. I'll try and deal with the addiction part second. So, the first part about how can I know my partner's love or attachment style. And I think the question is really important, because people do come to therapy, and I'll often say, at the moment I'm working on your part, but really this is a couple's issue, and both of you need to either come to therapy or do some work together on your own. And I'll just take a moment, and I'm gonna plug my couples weekend, because it's one of the things that I love the most about my job, which is about four times a year I get together with five couples. We go somewhere, usually on the Riviera, and it's transformational, because I work with two people to deepen the intimacy and do just this, really understand the other's attachment style and the loop that they get stuck in. So if you are interested, please give the email address at the end. The next one I'm signing up for is in July in the Riviera, and then after that in Spain in September. So it's really life-changing work for couples. So to the question, one of the things I would do is, how can you know your partner's love style? How do they approach intimacy, I think, is the first thing I would ask. So does your partner minimize intimacy? Is your partner comfortable discussing their feelings? Because if they're not, that's going to give you some clues that they're more avoidant. Is your partner very easily hurt, very easily concerned about the quality of the relationship? So another thing to do, I would say, is express your needs and see what happens. Because if you're in a relationship with someone who's secure, they're really comfortable. Honey, I need a hug. I need to know that you love me. Of course I do. Come here. Then I'm in a relationship with someone who's secure. If they welcome the intimacy, then they might be secure or anxious. But if they're uncomfortable, they're certainly avoidant. So it's getting familiar with how each of you responds to intimacy. And one of the things that I do with my couples on the weekend, and I'm going to give you a really abbreviated version, and I hope this answers the what can I do about it. Mm-hmm. Take the last argument you had and take it into these three parts, which is, okay, the last time we had an argument, part one, How did I behave? And how did they behave? Part two, how did I feel? And how did they feel? And part three, what is it that I need? So let me put into a practical example. How did I behave? I'm going to give you a hypothetical example. I felt I was jealous and I started an argument. How did they behave? Well, they isolated, they minimized the argument, they withdrew. And about that, I felt hurt and abandoned. How did they feel? Need to ask a partner. Mm. They felt overwhelmed. So what is it I long for? I long for reassurance. I long to know that I'm still loved. So we need to get forensic, yeah. And we actually have to do couples work together and really sit down and break it down into those parts. I mean, it really is an abbreviated version of some of what we do. It's a small part of what we do, but just how did I behave? How did I feel? And deep down, what was it that each of us needed?
Okay, well, I hope that answers your question.
Oh, I didn't ask the addiction.
On the addiction, yeah. Yes, because that led on to the addiction, saying
the addiction always needs to be dealt with first and foremost. So if a couple comes to me and says, we want to do the weekend and one of us is struggling with an addiction, I won't do an intimacy weekend with them. There may be a different type of weekend, I do, but it's not going to be an intimacy weekend because first and foremost, the person who's suffering with addiction needs to be able to manage to have some sobriety with whatever the addiction is and manage those behaviors, because without that, the relationship is not going to feel safe. And all of this has to feel safe. So I would say with the addiction part, and I think I touched upon it earlier, more avoidant people, because they don't know how to self-soothe, they don't know how to self-regulate their emotions, I would say more avoidant people end up with addictions than anxious people. Generalization.
Okay.
But avoidant people will very often act out more because they don't know what to do with the intimacy, with these feelings.
Okay, we've only had quite a few questions in, so trying to fit them all in between 10 o'clock. Hi, Sarah and Gavin, I'm a regular of the show. Here's my question. How does jealousy fit into the love styles? My partner is very jealous, especially of my social media, and constantly checks it. I have nothing to hide, but I do find his suspicion annoying.
So jealousy would suggest that he is anxiously attached, because that's that sense of insecurity. Do you love me enough? I want more closeness, but I got to work hard to keep you, and maybe you're having an affair. Show me this. Who are you speaking to? So jealousy would suggest an anxious attachment style.
Okay.
So we need to just reassure our partners. And obviously, if they're without your permission checking your social media, then it's also about setting some boundaries and saying, this is not okay for me.
But do you not think that leads to them thinking, well, why isn't it okay? Why can't I check? You're hiding something.
Well, I think, but we need to have the trust. So okay. We need to be able to reassure our partner, I have nothing to hide. What's really going on here? That's the discussion the couple needs to have. Because what's really going on is the person who's checking the social media is frightened that you're going to leave me. That's the bit that needs to be addressed more than the checking the social media.
Right. Okay, I'm moving on. Hi, Sarah and Gavin. This is intriguing in a kind of horoscope kind of way. My girlfriend...
Horoscope?
Horoscope.
This is one of the most important theories that the world of therapy has ever had.
My girlfriend worries that I don't love her enough. To me, she's oversensitive. As a result, we end up arguing a lot, or more than I would like. Is this a love blueprint thing? Could Gavin suggest how we can resolve the arguing about this?
What star sign are they?
Okay,
fine. So I think this is what... there's a very famous therapist called Pierre Melody, and she calls the co-addicted tango. So I think it was the girlfriend worries, and he thinks she's oversensitive, so they argue. So the co-addicted tango is basically what happens when the anxious and avoidant people fight. And what happens is the one that's anxious constantly wants the reassurance. So they keep stepping one step. If you imagine a circle, and the anxious person steps inside, both people are inside the circle, and the anxious person gets a bit closer and says, come on, tell me you love me, tell me that it's all okay. And then the avoidant person steps outside the circle because they're getting scared by the intimacy. And then they keep stepping back, and then the anxious person backs off. And then as soon as the anxious person starts to back off, the avoidant person steps back in the circle because they're fearful that you're going to leave me. And the avoidant person says, no, no, I'm here. Of course I want intimacy. Of course I want to be in a relationship with you. So the anxious person steps back in the circle until the next thing triggers them. And then the anxious person gets closer, the avoidant person backs off. So you get stuck in this tango where this is what the fight is about. We keep arguing because I'm anxious and I want to know, do you love me enough? And he's distancing by saying, ah, she's oversensitive. And the first thing I say when I see a couple like that is, let's let go of the vocabulary like oversensitive. Because someone is here expressing a need and I don't want to have a value judgment. So what is it that they need? And so, yes, this is a love blueprint thing. This is a clash of attachment styles. And sometimes when the avoidant and anxious people are dating, there's lots of unresolved conflict, because to resolve conflict requires intimacy. And here's two people who aren't great with intimacy. So absolutely, I would say to both of them to understand more about the cycle, the negative pattern they get caught in, and help each other out, recognizing, I wonder if this is you backing off. I wonder if this is you feeling insecure. Not in a way that's accusatory. I know what you're up to. You're clingy again. No, do it in a way that's loving. I wonder what you need. A great question to ask our partners. What is it that you need?
Right.
And it just lowers the temperature, because it might be really simple, like, I need a hug. I just need some space. But what happens is we play little movies in our head, because as soon as I see my partner wanting space, if I'm anxious, I panic. Or as soon as I see that my partner wants to get closer to me and I'm avoidant,
I panic.
Okay. So I just need to understand what is it that's happening, both for myself and for my partner.
I hope that answers your question. And also, hi Sarah and Gavin, first time I'm writing in. I'm in a happy relationship, I think. We argue like most couples. He loves his independence. He always wants to be out with the boys, playing golf, tennis, works late, etc. He reckons I'm too dependent. Do some men just need more space? Is that a bad thing? Any views, Gavin?
I think dependency is always a triggering word in therapy and in couples work, because dependency is a fact of life. I mean, that's what attachment theory is built upon. A child emotionally depends for survival on their primary caregivers. And as we said at the start of the show, if I don't get that, then it's going to impact the way I love when I'm older. So if you're in a relationship, there has to be an element of dependency. And there's lots of experiments that when we attach, we actually form one physiological unit. So we co-regulate each other's nervous systems, blood pressure. So the dependency thing is always interesting. So we've said before on this show, a healthy relationship has this balance between independence and interdependence. So that's the part, you know, we have to exist on our own and in the relationship. To the question, is it a bad thing that he's off playing golf and doing stuff? I think that's up to you to decide, because it depends what type of relationship you want. It could just be that this is a healthy sign of that we both like to do our own things, and that's great. But it could also be a sign that he pulls away, that he doesn't want too much closeness, or it could be a sign that she's worried that he spends too much time together. So it's difficult to know. The dependency thing is always interesting, because I think you said he said that she's too dependent. And that's the thing I would explore. What does dependency mean to each of you?
Okay, and time for the final question. It says, hi, Gavin and Sarah. I'm tired of dating the wrong people, and I'm listening to you about the way we love. How can I have a quick guide to find the right person?
Oh, gosh, a quick guide. I'm not sure I can answer that one. I think it's about understanding I would look at the pattern. So if you've always dated the wrong person, what do they share in common? And sometimes, again, really hard based on their question, sometimes it's a question that an avoidant person will ask, that, you know, I really want to fall in love, Gavin. I've just never met the right person. And I know I'm 75 years old, but you know what? I think they're out there somewhere. And then I might challenge them and say, well, I wonder what's happened in these. It's like the person who wrote in and said that the relationship ends after, I can't remember what it was, 3 or 6 months.
6 months.
6 months. So that, is there a pattern to this? Have you just been unlucky that you just haven't met the right person, which of course happens? Or is there a pattern to it? But again, I would understand more about yourself and how you love, and I would look to date someone secure. By the way, anyone can go online, there's lots of them, and free attachment quizzes, and just type in what's my attachment style, and you'll end up with a free quiz that will give you some information about your own style, because knowing how we love is really important, and reflecting about what was my childhood like. And it's not, did my parents do something wrong and I'm out to blame them? And it's not, was I loved? Because most of us were loved. But really thinking about the quality of the love, the emotional and physical presence, the nurturing, that will all give me clues.
Gavin Sharp, Riviera Wellbeing, thank you. As usual, we run out of time. Thank you for the emails. Sorry if we didn't fit all of them in. But we'll be back next month. What are we talking about next month?
I thought next month, somebody wrote to me and said, can we go back and talk about addiction? And it's interesting, it's come up twice today.
Okay.
So yeah. I think it's a heavy topic, I know, but I think we can manage it.
So we're going to do addiction.
Between us, we'll pull it off. We'll do addiction next month.
Okay, and how can people find out more, Gavin, and find out about your couple retreats and get in contact with you?
Thank you. So my website is rivierawellbeing.com. You can email me, gavin@rivierawellbeing.com.
Gavin Sharp, thank you very much, and I'll see you next month for addiction.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.
Bye.